As you know, we have a bit of technical difficulty this morning, but I believe we have PowerPoint for the Word of God, which I'm really glad about. Maybe I'm selfish, you know. I mean, the words of the worshiper, it's okay, but they're not there, but the words for the message need to be there, but what? Anyway, it's good to see you in the house this morning. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, if you joined us online this morning. What a great day to be in the house of God. Amen? Wow, so good. Living in extraordinary times. In times, I call it mega seismic times. Times that we've never seen before. Things are happening we've never seen before. How many of you believe the Lord is coming soon? You know, I believe, you know, I don't know how soon is, but he's coming back. You know, and none of these things are taking God by surprise. And so, you know, we need to be a people that are, you know, calm and living by faith and pressing into God like never before. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, last week we prayed for one of our family members, Elizabeth Jock, and his wife Elizabeth. She had an aneurysm. She's still in the hospital. Jock sent me a text. I've been conversing with him throughout the week. They've decided that she needs to sleep, so they've induced her. She's resting. They might keep her there in that state for about several days because they need the pressure to go down in her brain. And for that pressure to normalize before they can do an MRI and take it to the next step. So Jock says, please, please have the church pray. So can you do that? Can we just maybe just agree with it in prayer right now? Father, we just lifted Elizabeth up before your throne of grace. Father, you said, Lord, that we could ask you for incredible things, that anything we ask for, agree for, and with here on earth will be done by our Father in heaven. And we right now, we agree, we lift up Elizabeth before your throne of grace. We ask for mercy, grace to help her. We ask you to touch her brain, cause that pressure to minimize, to just go down, to normalize. We pray that all the bleeding would stop. We pray that you would allow the doctors to go in and to perform that MRI, that you would get into the next level of healing. We pray that you would heal her, preserve her, and give her back to her kids and her family. In Jesus' holy name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen, Lord. And a praise report. We prayed for Ding Teodoro. He's the pastor of the church that we support in the Philippines. He went to the hospital. He was, you know, having all kinds of problems. They thought he had a stroke, but he's about 97% recovered. Now Merovic said that he's actually home. So it is a miracle there too as well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Okay. I can't see the words back there, but I believe you can see them there. We're going to continue in our message, in our series called Inspire. So let's bow our heads. Let's ask God's blessing on the word. Thank you, Father. So good to be here in your presence, enjoying your presence with your people. Thank you that we can be the gathered church. Lord, you want to speak to us. I pray this message that you've given me to speak would be spoken with clarity, with power, that it would penetrate not just our mind, but deep into our soul and our spirit. It would be like that double-edged sword. It would judge the attitudes of our thought and our minds. And it would bring life to us, and it would glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Okay, I'm going to talk about a life that's worth saving. A life that's worth saving. So we're going to jump right into the scripture. And I'm glad we have PowerPoint because I've got lots of scripture here for you to do. I want to impregnate you with the Spirit this morning. Okay, I say that, but okay, so you'll find out. There's a reason why I say that, okay? We'll go to the scripture. So, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. Are you ready? Okay, follow with me. Peter says, since you call on him as your heavenly Father, the imparted judge who judges according to each one's works, live each day with holy awe and reverence throughout your time on earth. For you know that your lives were ransomed once and for all from the empty and futile way of living of life handed down from generation to generation. It was not a ransom payment of silver and gold, which eventually perishes, but the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb was sacrificed for us. Amen. There's a story of a man who risked his life to save a boy that was trapped in the burning building. The building was filled with smoke. The boy could not find his way out. So this rescuer stormed into this house with what seemed like reckless abandon. And he saved that child from certain death. And as he carried that boy out in his arms, the boy said to him, "Thank you, sir, for saving my life." And the man looked into the boy's eyes and he said these profound words, "Just make sure your life was worth saving." You know, that's something we all need to think about. On your PowerPoint, on our point, is your life, the question is your life worthy of the risk and the cost of the one who would save it? Colossians 1 verse 9. Paul says to the Colossians, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may," what? "Live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joy, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." That's who we are. We are God's holy people living in the kingdom of light. Verse 13, "For he has" what? What did he do? "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." For he has rescued us. You know, you hear all kinds of stories of people getting rescued. You know, people go into the mountains and they get lost for some reason. And so all these rescuers are dispatched. You'll see this next picture. And they're sent out, dozens of them are, and they search for days, and they literally spend thousands of dollars are invested in these rescues. Now, nobody actually, you know, says, you know, it wasn't worth it. You know, nobody ever questions the expense of the rescue, do they? Right? So, when we look at that, the question is, what is a life worth? What is a life worth? Like, what value can you place on a human life? At what point do we say that life, if we spent too much money to save that life, do we ever get to that point? No. There's no point, is there? There's no point, because you cannot place a dollar value on a human life. And we'll go to any length to save one person, because we know how precious that life is. Amen? In Israel, at the Holocaust Memorial, there's a place called the Garden of Righteousness. And around that memorial are thousands of beautiful evergreen trees. Now, each evergreen tree is special, because each evergreen tree represents the efforts risked their lives to save Jews from the crematoriums of Hitler. And to date, they say that over 11,000 rescuers have been identified and honored. And so they have this research department that is literally dedicated to identifying and honoring all those people who risked their lives to save Jews. And there was an estimated amount of 100,000. There was over 100,000 Gentile rescuers in the world at one time. Now, many have probably passed away. But the state of Israel is dedicated to finding and honoring each and every one of them. Amen? What an incredible task. Now, someone rescued us. Amen? Someone rescued us. Someone paid the price to snatch us from death. The very heart of the gospel is the fact that Jesus Christ rescued us from hell. Amen? So the question is, what's our response to that? What's our response? What's our response? How are we to live knowing that we've been saved at such a high cost? The Apostle Peter's exhortation can be summed up in just one word: remember. Remember. And that's what the Jews have been doing. They've been remembering their rescuers. And we, you and I, we are asked to do the very same thing. 1 Peter 1 verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Peter is saying, we've all been rescued. We've all been ransomed at a very high price. And what's that price? It's the price of blood. So he's saying, so just make sure that you remember, that you honor this act by making sure that your life was truly worth saving. This trucker, he remembers, right? I love this. In color, it's really great because it's all red. And he's a blood donor saved my life. And what's his name? Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And he tells everyone, everywhere he goes, amen? He has not forgotten. 1 Peter chapter 1:23 says, for you have a new life. What kind of life do you have? You have a new life. It was not passed down to you from your parents, for the life they give you will fade away. The new one, can you say new one? New one will last forever, for it comes from Christ, God's ever-living message to men. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ did not die just to change your life. Jesus Christ died to exchange your life. The message version in that verse 23 says, your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm, but your new birth comes from what? From God's living word. God's living word is a seed. That's why we need to preach the gospel. That's when we need to declare the word, because it's the seed that produces life, right? You know, we need to impregnate the world with God's word so it gives birth to new lives. Amen? We need the word of God. You know, those early disciples, there's a picture of the early disciples. And they're just kind of hanging in there all by themselves. And these disciples are waiting in that room patiently, waiting for something to happen. They know that Jesus has been resurrected. But these early disciples became the very first people to receive on the planet to receive the exchanged life. They became the first to be implanted with resurrection life. First to be implanted with the life-giving Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, with dunamis power. And from that moment on, their old lives were finished and the new life of Christ began in them. Amen? And the supernatural love and the power of the Holy Spirit literally replaced their old powerless lives. So here's the resurrected Christ. He breaks into their isolated, their fear-filled COVID lives, and he breaks into their lives, and he came into that room, and he gave them instructions, and he gave them the very work to do that Christ gave his Son work to do, and with the very same power. Amen? And today, we, you and I, we're a part of this modern day body of Spirit baptized believers. You know, we weren't saved just to get to heaven, were we? We were not saved just to get to heaven, but we were saved to restore, to turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ through our exchanged lives. Amen? Before I was married, I had this old car. And it had a lot of miles on it. And I began to have a lot of problems with it. Let's go forward a little bit further. There it is. There, that was my whole car. That was a 1980 Z28 Camaro. You know, it was beautiful when it was brand new. But as it got older, a lot of problems. I was always fixing it up. You know, problem after problem. You know, I thought of getting a new car. And Karen didn't like that car very much. I thought of, not a great family car, is it? So, by the way, it was midnight blue, white stripes. It was a beautiful car then, but but a lot of problems. So the thought of getting a new car was really enticing, except for the price I'd have to pay, which made me hesitate. But I knew that old car would never have the qualities of a brand new car. You know, that new car, yeah, it would be worry-free. It would have that new car smell. It would have a 5-year warranty. You know, and use less gas, you know. But no matter what I did to that old car, it would never have the new car qualities, right? Some people's lives are just like that old car. A lot of problems. You know, always needing fixing. You know what it's like in life? Things just don't get, they don't just stay fixed, right? You know, you have one problem, okay, it's over. My life would be clear sailing all the way to heaven. No, there are new problems and new trials that can come into your life, right? You know, I want to say this. God never ever promised to give you an old fixed up life. To give a life that's just fixed up. A life that's just a little bit better. The cross did not purchase for us a fixed up life. The cross purchased for us a brand new life. Amen? It's like that old car. It's time to make a trade. His life for our life. You know, his values for our values. His goals for our goals. You know, his purpose instead of our purposes. Amen? You know, we can be born again believers and we could still be holding on to the old lives, right? Old values, old purpose, old goals, old attitudes. Give up the old. Amen? Take on the new that God has for you. That's what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. And I, the old me, I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave his life for me. Christ died so we could live. So that we could really live with new purpose, with a new passion, with a new sense of power, and we need to live inspired lives, inspired by who he is and what he has done for us. Amen? But listen, if you're ever going to live a life that's worth living and please him in every way, it's not going to happen. By you wishing for it, by you just wanting for it. Amen? It's not going to happen if you just wish it and you want it. You've got to do something about it. Amen? That's the very reason why the Bible says you've got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Where's that sense of fear and trembling when Christians come into the presence of God? Where's that sense of fear? You know, we need that sense of fear, that passion, that vibrant awareness of Jesus. We're not going to live a life that we're called to live. Amen? We're going to have to do something. Philippians 2 verse 12 says, continue to work out your salvation. That is, cultivate it. Bring it into full effect. Actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe, inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. Wow. You got to put on some stuff. I'm going to give you some stuff real quick to put on. The first thing you need to put on is you need to put on determination. Put on determination every single day. Put on a sense of determination to serve God. Why? Because we're in a spiritual warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare. The battle is to the determined. The battle is to the committed. It's just the way of the kingdom, and it's the way of the heroes in the kingdom of God, isn't it? I say, you got to be more determined than hell. You've got to be more determined than health, right? Your life belongs to Him. We are no longer living for ourselves. Did anybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Number two. Second thing. Put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, into a spiritual union with the Christ, the Anointed, have done what? We have clothed ourselves with Christ. That is, you have taken on His characteristics and His values. Ephesians 6, verse 10. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord, draw your strength from Him, and be empowered through your union with Him, and in the power of His boundless might. And He's got these words capitalized. Run to the Lord. Draw your strength from Him. Amen? The moment you crossed the line of salvation, you inherited an enemy who is set out to destroy you. Amen? There's an old story about the late Kenneth Hagin, and he was talking to his students one day, and his students said to him this: if the devil is so awful, why don't we just kill him? After all, the Bible says that we've been given all the powers over all the powers of darkness. So then why can't we just go after and kill him? Then Dr. Hagin said, well, we can't. Because as soon as we resist him, he flees. Do you get it? Number one, put on determination. Number two, put on Christ. Number three, put on your spiritual armor. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as a protective armor that covers your heart. Stand with your feet alert, then always be ready to share the blessings of peace. Be ready with the gospel of peace. Be ready to preach the gospel. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of God, of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty, razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken, notice it says the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all His believers. Leon Fontaine tells the story about his dad when he was pastoring in Selkirk, Manitoba. And I was listening to Leon talking about his dad. He says one day this lady came up to his dad, and she was weeping. And she says, can you please pray for me, Pastor? And he says, sure, you bet. For what? And she said, pray that the devil will leave me alone. And he said, do you want me to pray that you die? And the lady said, no, no, no. He says, well, the only time the devil will leave you alone is when you're dead. And she says, oh. And then he said, but greater is He within you. Amen? James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and what will he do? He will flee from you. Number four, put on the garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise. Isaiah 61, 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me, I paraphrase this, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of what? A spirit of despair. Another says a spirit of heaviness. We see so many people struggling, suffering, then anxiety attacks every single day. But you know what research shows? That 99% of the things that people worry about will never, ever happen, right? So people can literally spend weeks and months just blowing away their lives, you know, and it's affecting their families, their marriages, their home. It's literally affecting their lives. And they're just caught up in these what-ifs of life. Well, what if the COVID count gets worse? What if the economy falls? What if my business fails? You know, what if my husband leaves me? Whoops. There's an exclamation mark. Okay. What if, right? What if that person says this to me? What if that church says that? 99% of the things that we fear will never happen. Amen? I believe that one of the greatest warfares against you and I as Christians is against our mouth. It's against your praise. It's against your thanksgiving. It's against your worship. It's against corporate worship in the church. The enemy doesn't want this powerful weapon of praise to come out of your mouth. Amen? God dwells in the praises of his people. Amen? That makes us triumphant people. Let's put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Number 5, put on good teaching and preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are preaching, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. God uses the foolishness of preaching to save people. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by what? By faith. The preaching of the word brings faith. There's such a tendency for us to get away from the word. But this is the time, saints, when we need to run back to the word. Really get into the word. Our word is our strong tower. Our strong tower is the word of God. Amen? What's the name of Jesus? You know what his name is? He is the word. He's the living word, right? And there's a scripture in Proverbs 18. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. And they're safe. I'll give you one more. One more thing we need to put on. Put on your passion. Put on passion. Let's be a passionate people. Let's be an inspired people. You know, if your passions are running dim, if your feelings are getting low, then keep your commitment going. Amen? Keep it going. You know, God wants you to prosper. God wants you to love life. I mean, he literally created this world for us to live in, right? You know, God wants us to live a life where, you know, he wants to give us friends. He wants us laughing. He wants us loving life. And he wants us to reach people because the time is short. Amen? God wants us to enjoy a big life with a big God and with a big purpose. Amen? Amen. God is not small, is he? God is not small. And God wants you living a life that's worth what he did to save you. Amen. He wants you to live a life that's worthy of his goodness towards you. I want to finish my message with a story. True story. About the last two people. What happened September the 11th. The last two people, let's see the picture of them. Last two people, these two guys were the last two guys that were in tower number one that were put before it collapsed. And the guy in the back, his name is Will Yameno, and the guy in the front is John McLaughlin. I just read the story. And those two officers, along with three others, entered tower number one, and as soon as they enter it, the building collapsed. Next picture, that's what happened. And that thing literally collapsed. And they were caught up in a huge pile of broken concrete, twisted steel. The other three officers were instantly killed. And they were in that concrete tomb for about 10 hours. And he tells a story that while they're in that tomb, they were just read your part, some of the story. He says, at times, ruptured gas lines would send fireballs hurtling into the collapsed ruins, threatening to burn them to death. In another terrifying moment, heat from fireballs cooked off the ammunition inside the firearm of a falling officer, sending 15 bullets ricocheting around the chamber. At one point, Emmanuel's hope began to falter. He said, "We have been crushed, burnt, shot at by them. I was exhausted. I had done everything as a police officer that I could do, and everything as a human being. I was at that point where I was just going to die. I just knew I was going to die. Yet when things seemed to be unbearable, Yemeno saw a figure coming to him through the rubble. He wore a glowing white robe and a robe belt, and he said, I couldn't see his face, but I knew it was Jesus. Yemeno saw an endless sea of waving grass over the figure's left shoulder and a lake over the right. He says, I remember asking Jesus, if I get to heaven, can I have some water? According to Yemeno, the vision filled him with a new volley of hope. I had this resurgence of optimism, this resurgence of the will to fight. Turning to McLaughlin, he yelled, we're going to get out of this hellhole. And they did. Several hours later, U.S. Marines, rescue workers, lifted him out of his temporary prison, and Yemeno thanked God. The events of that day had given him a new perspective on the brevity of life. He noted that even if a person lives to be 90 years old, that's only a little over 32,000 days. That's not that many, Yemeno said. You have to do good and do right with the small period you have in between. Amen. These two officers were literally given a new lease on life. That situation that he went through was literally a defining moment in his faith in Jesus Christ. After that day, his entire focus of his life changed. His perspective on living life totally changed. And today, he still speaks all over the world, talking about his experience and during 9/11. See, here's the challenge, saints. If you're here today, you're watching today, if you were born again, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus, then you have been given a new lease on life. Amen? So here's the question. Will you honor it? Will you honor it? Will that cause you to live differently? And will you make sure that your life was truly worth saving? Let's bow our heads. You know, right now you may be here, and maybe you don't know Jesus. You don't know him personally. But if you've never invited him into your heart, God is calling you right now. He's calling you to give up your empty way of life, to receive his new life, abundant life. Let me tell you, not an easy life, but a life of new purpose, powerful significance, powerful meaning. You know, it's time, if you've never done this, it's time to exchange your life for his new life. Today he's calling you. He's offering you the greatest, most priceless gift. It's called the gift of eternal life. And all you have to do to receive it is to ask by saying a simple prayer. And if that's you, and if you are really serious, then pray after me. Are you ready for this prayer? Pray after me these words. Pray to him. Lord Jesus, I'm answering your call to come to you. I want you in my life. I want you to be Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. And because of what you did for me, I promise to love you with all my heart, soul, and spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me and for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.